Even farther north than Traverse City, Escanaba area public schools have already been back to in-person learning for 3 weeks now. In addition to face-to-face instruction, the district's also offering hybrid, online, and self-paced options. To check in on how all this has been going, we return to Gina Pepin, a reading specialist in Escanaba, also 2018-2019 Michigan Teacher of the Year, and someone we've talked to previously during the lockdown. Gina Pepin, welcome back to Stateside.
Hello, everyone.
So, Escanaba schools, like I said, are offering a range of choices, including all online and some hybrids in addition to face-to-face. Can you remind us which variety you ended up teaching this year?
This year, I have a large majority of my own personal schedule includes face-to-face students. I do have about 9 what we consider tier 3 students that I am setting up online options for them. Some are going to actually zoom in and do kind of like a live session, and some are doing other types of things online. There's some research-based options for them. Our district, just to add to that, also offers what we call self-paced options. So in my building, we have a first grade and a second grade, and there's 7 classes for each. And there's a first grade self-paced classroom and a second grade self-paced classroom. So we have a lot of options for families. We have found, though, within the first 3 weeks now, that families have changed a lot. So they're becoming a little bit more comfortable with sending them face-to-face. So they have been a lot of changes happening.
Can I just ask you a practical question? Like, how do you keep it all straight? It sounds like you're sort of switching it out from day part to day part, maybe even hour to hour.
You know, honestly, that is very true. And we just really want our students to come back in any way that they can. There have been some challenges and some obstacles where folks have checked out, literally exited, and they are homeschooling, not involving a school plan that we have put out there for as an opportunity. And so we really want to try and avoid that if we can. We want them to be a part of our academic program so that we can make sure that their needs are met, you know, all of their needs, those social emotional needs and the academic needs, and just that they're okay and they're doing well.
Do you have a sense of how many of your colleagues came back, whether there was much turnover in teaching staff over the summer?
So there was a large majority of staff. There were some switch ups. One of the reasons was our particular school district closed a building. So we closed an elementary building and then merged some grade levels and did quite a lot of changing things around. In addition to that, we had a lot of retirements. We, even in my building here, out of the 14 teachers, 2 of them were student teachers that were in our district that didn't quite finish, in a sense, their face-to-face opportunity for student teaching. And they're now our first grade teachers, and they're doing a fabulous job. We have some, you know, great mentorship programs that will help support them. We had teachers even retiring within the week. Oh gosh, even when school started.
Well, what did those first couple of weeks feel like? I imagine it was a little chaotic.
You know, somebody said yesterday when I was talking with someone from another school district that they had a staff meeting and their administrator said to them, just, you know, great big hats off to everybody because teachers are just working tirelessly and administration is doing such an amazing job. The amount of teamwork that everyone up here is doing is just, it's goosebumps. It just really is. It's amazing. And he said, you know, it kind of feels like February. Like where we left off, February, March, and it doesn't quite feel like September. It feels like we just came back from spring break, and it's a different sense of everything. So just trying to get used to that. The kids have been phenomenal with masks. Here where we were worried first grade, second grade, like that was going to be a big obstacle, there has not been a single issue. It's just amazing how adaptable and just flexible people are.
Even among the littles?
Right. I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I'm honestly so proud of them. They do an amazing job. And parents have been phenomenal. All the districts up here have implemented no visitors. No visitors. If you are picking up your child, you will pick them up outside of the building. And there are just such well-defined procedures and policies that are in place that all stakeholders have just really helped make this happen.
Tell us how school looks differently these days. I mean, obviously, kids are wearing masks, but what do you see when you walk into a classroom or a hallway?
see a little bit of uncertainty still. You see some, you know, kids that are, they're doing the right thing to make sure that those around them are safe. And it's amazing that first and second graders can get that. They understand that. And they're just so happy to be back here and be able to see their friends, that you can see that they just want to make it work. They want to stay in school. They don't want the schools to close. And right now, I'll be honest with you, our numbers are multiplying. A local district right next door, a private school just closed today. Schools in Marquette are looking at closing. We're getting a lot of positive cases. Mm-hmm. Several up in Calumet Houghton area, I believe, have closed as well. Just making sure that everybody's safe. It's quieter. Again, I think just because of getting used to the new normal. At the same time, it's hard to see expressions because of the masks, but you can just tell that everybody is so happy to be here. You can just see that in their behaviors, in their body language.
Gina, there are some districts that have had problems with kids who just disappeared, you know, who either had transportation Yes. issues or, mm-hmm. you know, were kind of dealing with a lot of stuff in their own families in the moment. Has there been any of that in Escanaba, or have most kids shown up?
Actually, there are more than I had hoped that there were going to be. And this is a personal issue for me. It's really frustrating when we don't get return phone calls or we don't hear from those families, because we worry about them. You know, we take that home. We continue to reach out, and we reach out to resources in our community so that they could even perhaps knock on their door and make sure that they're okay. Folks that are choosing to homeschool or have transferred schools, or we just haven't been able to get in touch with, are at the top of our list every single day, because we just want to make sure that they're okay.
Would you say that those are a handful, or maybe numbering in the dozens?
Well, I can tell even personally, I was scheduled to meet with about 21 students at the beginning of the school year, and 9 of those students are not here.
Mm.
They're not here, and they're either they're homeschooling or with a family member, or they joined something else, or we just haven't heard from them. So they're not scheduled necessarily. We don't really know exactly. They didn't transfer to a local district. They didn't do those sort of things. So that worries me a lot.
What kind of challenges have cropped up that maybe you did not expect?
I think that piece, mm-hmm. The you know, where are they? Are they okay? There isn't a defined return plan for those kids. That's another big fear. What is it going to look like in a year from now? And what type of evidence is being collected that there's some sort of learning taking places in those scenarios in which they are right now? That's a fear. The other one is, as a staff, we were talking, the social emotional behaviors, just some kids have been pretty isolated. So if they're streaming online, and we have 2 classrooms that are streaming live a couple hours during the day. And what they've noticed, these kids, they're just not sure how to act online. Like, what do those behaviors look like? How should I act, or how can I interact with my students and my teacher when I'm the student at home logging in and trying to stream live with them? And that's just a very different kind of norm too.
What kind of academic state are you finding the kids in? Are they about where you'd expect for a normal September?
They are not. We've run a couple of screeners using some of the assessments that we use. We have not done our true benchmark yet. We're trying to work through all those kinks as well, because of all of the staff changeovers, as well as like the retirements. I don't have a lot of our testing staff that are trained so that to be able to administer particular tests with validity mm-hmm. and fidelity. So for sure. So there's some gaps there that we didn't anticipate either. And so I found that, like, our first grade, for example, a significant gap across the board in what we call phonological awareness. So not even connecting sounds to print yet, but even being able to rhyme.
Are you approaching teaching in the same way with that in mind, that there are some kids who are a little behind? Like, how are you getting your head together about what's fundamental for the kids to focus on this year?
Teachers are really just looking at the end of last year. What were those content standards, and what are the social emotional standards that are needed right now? and doing a review and just kind of gaining some observational data and some feedback even from students and families. What do we need to put at the forefront at this time? It's a lot of just building routines, building expectations, and then really getting to see where our students are social, emotionally, and academically. And that takes time. And that takes time with a great fear of getting shut down again, which really it could be in the future.
For sure. Gina, if you don't want to answer this, it's okay. But I just wanted to ask, how's your own home situation going?
Well, teach in one district. My husband's in another, and our kids go to one in between. And they are on a hybrid situation at this point because we have asthma in our family. So we've elected to do a little bit more conservative approach to it. And my two daughters are in high school and my son is in middle school. My daughters are totally rocking it. They're doing great. They love it. They go a couple days a week and they're still involved in sports, what's been allotted so far. My son in sixth grade is failing. He's not doing so hot. It's not a good learning environment for him at all. And so we've actually upped, you know, he was like a Tuesday, Friday student. And now he's going this week. He's gone for 4 days because he begged, and his reaction to and passion to loving learning again showed when he came home yesterday. And so we have to make those adjustments again. We're one of those families where I guess we're changing things by the day too.
Gina Pepin, we really appreciate your talking to us, and hang in there. We're pulling for you and your whole family right now.
Well, thanks so much for having me again.
Gina Pepin is a reading specialist in Escanaba Schools.